Welcome, everybody, to the first of many weeks talking about the psychotherapy pamphlet. As you guys know, we love participation, so if you read along with us and whatever you feel prompted to speak about, you can either type about it in the room or raise your hand. And we'll do it in the way that we have done the manual for teachers, where we read a section, talk about it, and then open it up for sharing. But please keep your comments to what we're reading and talking about. All right, but let's start off by inviting the Holy Spirit into this and to close our eyes and take a deep breath. Holy Spirit, we are so grateful to be guided to be doing this, to go over the psychotherapy pamphlet as more is revealed to us and through us. We turn this next hour over to you. I really don't have much to say. I am so filled with gratitude right now and peace that I just to the brim, I don't have any words or anything. There's just the sense of just knowing that this is exactly where I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to be doing in this moment. And just grateful to see all of you. So let's just take a moment to surrender and to rest in the awareness of His presence. Affirming that what we hear here in this next hour is what we were meant to hear. All right, so I'll just read the introduction. It's one paragraph, and then just share a little bit, and then Tom will share, and then if anybody else wants to share on it, and then Tom will read the next section. So it's just a paragraph. The introduction. Psychotherapy is the only form of therapy there is. Since only the mind can be sick, only the mind can be healed. Only the mind is in need of healing. This does not appear to be the case, for the manifestations of this world seem real indeed. Psychotherapy is necessary so that an individual can begin to question their reality. Sometimes he is able to start to open his mind without formal help, but even then, it is always some change in his perception of interpersonal relationships that enables him to do so. Sometimes he needs a more structured, extended relationship with a quote-unquote official therapist. Either way, the task is the same. The patient must be helped to change his mind about the quote-unquote reality of illusions. And so, of course, that's pretty self-explanatory. But I will say one thought that does come to mind, and that is that I went to therapists when I was little, when I was a teenager, and I was in the mental part of a hospital when I was 17 for trying to commit suicide. And later on in my early 20s, when I was in the hospital again, I had a psychiatrist dealing with a whole bunch of stories in my mind. And I didn't get any shifts in perception directly from anything with the psychotherapist or the psychiatrist or anything. You know, I was on medication, etc. But what I did get was an awareness of why I wasn't getting quote-unquote helped by my brothers. And the reason why is because I had a judgment about that too. And I was not willing to or ready to to the degree I needed to be helped, be honest with myself and my brother about what was really going on and how the ego ranges from suspicious to vicious. I was always suspicious of the therapist. While the therapist was sitting there and evaluating my mind and what I was saying or not saying, etc., I was sitting and evaluating the therapist. In my mind, making stories up about what the therapist's real motives were and how, etc. All a mirror, all a projection of my own psychosis, of my own insanity. And so I had a major crash and burn where I literally was taken to a place of surrender to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit in that way. But then the Holy Spirit would go and guide me to listen to certain people, to talk to certain people, to read certain things, with always this caution not to make stories up about them to build them up and not make stories about them to bring them down, because I was constantly either putting someone on a pedestal and worshiping and fearing and taking what they said literally over my own internal thoughts, or I would knock a therapist or somebody down and think, well, I don't need their help, and who are they anyway? They don't know me. And so this relationship with the Holy Spirit really helped me to awaken more and more as the Holy Spirit started to properly use my brothers to help me to heal and properly use me to help my brothers to heal. I started to realize a totally different world of therapy. That we do heal together, and that the Holy Spirit heals us through us, and that true healing is the awakening to who they really are and to who is really healing them. And yet, I've now come to a point in my life where I'm counseling people, and I have to tell you that my biggest block to doing so was if that wasn't how I was going through my awakening, then why is it that I am being guided to do that? And it is ironically because of that block to A, first of all, heal that thought in my mind, but also B, because there are others who feel the same way, who hold that belief in their mind that they shouldn't listen to their brother, that they shouldn't need to listen to their brother. And their brother can't possibly love them or benefit from helping them. It's been an amazing experience. Of course, I benefit every single time and really, really get that, just like in the Manual for Teachers, where it talks about are words necessary for healing, that words are necessary while our brothers do not hear directly and clearly the voice for God consistently, and that we are all healing, and so we all benefit from hearing the Holy Spirit through our brothers as we recognize more and more that what we're really listening to is the Holy Spirit in our own mind. And the other thing I'll say real quick is that thought is cause, and that if there is an effect that we are not happy with because we are judging it or because we are feeling a loss of peace, to really get responsibility for sight, that it is our thoughts, our perceptions, our beliefs that are driving the whole bus. Our whole experience, even though it seems real in a manifestation of the world, our whole experience is still based on our perception, and our perception is based on our beliefs. So psychotherapy is the only form of therapy there really is. When we really go and change our mind about the world rather than try to change the world, that is the only way we truly heal. And that is the only way that we truly are able to help to heal. So I'm going to drop the mic for Tom and anybody else that wants to share on this introduction. And then afterwards, Tom will go on to read the next section and share on that. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I don't have much to say, except to say that, you know, again, here's Jesus saying, like, in no sort of uncertain terms, that mind is cause, and the only way to heal is to heal the mind, and that, you know, sometimes in this world you have to kind of play along with the sort of structures we have, and sometimes people need a an actual psychiatrist who has something hanging on the wall to help him open his mind, to be helped, to accept help from the Holy Spirit. So that's really all there is to say on that. Thank you.
Anybody else have anything they want to share before we go on to the next section? It was a real brief one. Okay, Tom, would you like to read the next section?
All right. The purpose of psychotherapy. Very simply, the purpose of psychotherapy is to remove the blocks to truth. Its aim is to help to aid the patient in abandoning his fixed delusional system and to begin to reconsider the spurious cause and effect relationship on which it rests. No one in this world escapes fear, but everyone can reconsider its cause and learn to evaluate them correctly. God has given everyone a teacher whose wisdom and help far exceeds whatever contributions an earthly therapist can provide. Yet there are times and situations in which an earthly patient/therapist relationship becomes the means through which he offers his greater gift to both. What better purpose could any relationship have than to invite the Holy Spirit to enter into it and give it his own great gift of rejoicing? What higher goal could there be for anyone than to learn to call upon God and hear his answer? And what more transcendent aim can there be than to recall the way, the truth, and the life, and to remember God? To help in this is the proper purpose of psychotherapy. Could anything be holier? For psychotherapy, correctly understood, teaches forgiveness and helps the patient to recognize and accept it. And in his healing is the therapist forgiven with him. I'll say a few words on this. You know, here Jesus is again speaking of a holy relationship, really. A holy relationship that may in this world take the form of patient psychotherapist. But nevertheless, it is a holy relationship. And the way in which Jesus, you know, defines a holy relationship is a relationship that has been given to the Holy Spirit for his use in this world. So again, he's saying that there is no greater purpose in relationships, and in fact there is no other purpose in relationships than to offer the relationship to the Holy Spirit to use. So those are my thoughts on that. I'll continue reading. Everyone who needs help, regardless of the form of his distress, is attacking himself, and his peace of mind is suffering in consequence. These tendencies are often described as self-destructive, and the patient often regards them in that way himself. What he does not realize and needs to learn is that this self, which can attack and be attacked as well, is a concept he made up. Further, he cherishes it, defends it, and is sometimes even willing to sacrifice his life on its behalf. For he regards it as himself. This self he sees as being acted on, reacting to external forces as they demand, and helpless midst the power of the world. Psychotherapy, then, must restore to his awareness the ability to make his own decisions. He must become willing to reverse his thinking and to understand that what he thought projected its effects on him were made by his projections on the world. The world he sees does therefore not exist. The world he sees does therefore not exist. Until this is at least in part accepted, the patient cannot see himself as really capable of making decisions, and he will fight against his freedom because he thinks that it is slavery. The patient need not think of truth as God in order to make progress in salvation, but he must begin to separate truth from illusion, recognizing that they are not the same, and becoming increasingly willing to see illusions as false and to accept the truth as true. His teacher will take him on from there as far as he is ready to go. Psychotherapy can only save him time. The Holy Spirit uses time as he thinks best, and he is never wrong. Psychotherapy under his direction is one of the means he uses to save time and to prepare additional teachers for his work. There is no end to help that he begins and he directs. By whatever routes he chooses, all psychotherapy leads to God in the end. But that is up to him. We are all his psychotherapists, for he would have us all be healed in him. Wow. So, you know, again, he's saying the same things he says in the Course. You must learn to discern between truth and illusion. You must learn that not all your thoughts are true. And you must learn that there are two selves, two minds with which you can think. One is this whole projection that you have created of yourself, you know, imaginary character. And the other one is the self of which the Holy Spirit speaks. So whether the person calls it Christ, whether they call it Spirit or whatever, it doesn't even matter. But the point is that this true self is not the false self, and it is a true self. So it's really, he's talking about discernment and sorting out the two thought systems so that one could begin to see just how retarded egotistical thinking really is and how much it actually does not make any sense at all, you know. And that can only really be done by some way, even temporarily disconnecting from one's identification with the ego, and to look at it, to look at the ego and its thought system from another perspective, where it is seen as not making any sense at all, where it is seen that the ego is just self-sabotage, that its system of thought can never be successful in anything and can never lead to peace and joy. So I'll drop the mic for Lisa. Thank you.
This is beautiful. A couple of things that jumped out at me for this, and just with such gratitude, is the saving of time. There's so much that happens when we delay by spinning stories and believing them. And there's so much of a sense of fear and aloneness and guilt and shame when we feel we can't talk about whatever it is that we're believing. And when we believe something, even though we know there's something wrong with what we are thinking, to have a brother being willing and someone we can trust to hold that space for us so that we can really just let it out, knowing that we do need a correction, that there's something wrong, but not really knowing where that is, but knowing that we are suffering and that we need help. And when our minds are healed and we're able to be that person for someone, to be able to hold that unconditional loving space where we can stand in the truth while our brother spins and weaves stories of delusion. When we're able to do that for our brother, it strengthens the truth in our own mind. as we hear the Holy Spirit speaking for both of us. It saves time, because when our brother is able to take whatever it is that he's believing and finally let it out, all that time he was spending trying to fix the problem where it wasn't, in form, in the world, now he's going to be having shifts in perception that free him to no longer do that, to no longer be trapped in the effects of his thinking. In the Ur-text, when Jesus was talking to Helen, and Helen was complaining about what she needed to do to buy a jacket, he said that he would guide her to what to buy and where to go. Not because those things in and of themselves mean anything, but that he already knows what she would end up buying and doing, and that he knows what her highest good is, which is to focus more of her attention on healing and on being of service to her brother. And so, as we allow other people to hold that space for us and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through them, and as we allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us and hold that space for our brothers in such a way, we are really showing up for the healing of the mind in such a sense of a speed up, because all of the spinning in behavior and the spinning in the craziness of the world is all coming from the spinning of the split mind, who doesn't know itself. It's just an amazing process to sit with someone when they're going crazy about something that's going on in their own mind, and to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me to my brother. As I could see the truth in my mind, I could see the truth beneath what my brother is spinning, and just ride the Holy Spirit's wave, helping to call BS on what my brother is thinking, but not in a way that attacks my brother's thoughts, but in a way that awakens my brother's mind. Because my brother already has the truth in his mind. My brother just doesn't know it. He believes something as well that is not true, and that is why he is in conflict. And it is always that problem. There is never any other quote-unquote problem that is the cause of his suffering, ever. It is always that he believes something that is not true. Always. But it's beautiful to see my brother return to peace and joy and clarity. It's beautiful to see the lights go on in my brother's eyes as my brother lets go of the weights, of the shackles, of the stories that he's believed about himself. It's beautiful to see that, and it always strengthens my trust. Always. It's just, it lifts us both. It lifts us both. I love this section. It's just gorgeous. The fact that when he said that they don't even need to believe in God or even call it God, I don't use these terms with everybody that I work with. I'm given exactly the words I need to use for each person, and I promise you, if you talk to one of them, and then you talk to another, and you said, well, yeah, so she says Holy Spirit this, blah, blah, blah. Another would be like, okay, well, she tells me this instead. But it's all because we have our own stories, our own curriculum, our own filters. And the Holy Spirit knows exactly what to say that's perfect for everyone. You know, we just need to get out of the way and be open to hearing what he wants. I'm going to drop the mic for Tom and anybody else that wants to share. Thank you.
Just wanted to add a point about the part where he speaks about restoring the patient's ability to make his own decisions. Now, obviously he doesn't mean make his own decisions just the same way he's been making his own decisions. But the truth is that anyone who is stuck in ego and doesn't know that he has a choice is stuck in ego and doesn't have a choice, even if it appears that he is making decisions. But his decisions will always be on behalf of the ego. So therefore, he's not really making decisions, because a decision is the choosing of alternatives. And if you don't know that you have an alternative, you're not likely to choose between alternatives. You are likely to make the same old choice for separation that you've made before, that has brought you to this point or to this patient-psychotherapist relationship. But that choice alone to get help and to see a psychotherapist is a slight opening up to another way. And just wanted to touch on that. Thank you.